Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I mean, I've said this before. I have a lot of confidence in Josh. We're all growing. You're growing as a team. Each game is different. You know, we made a lot of good decisions that game. We're going to need to, you know, continue to make good decisions in order to move the football, and more importantly, put points on the board.
And when you have 9 new starters on offense going into the season, a lot of those guys have never played in day ball scheme before. They are going to keep getting more and more comfortable in the scheme. They should get better and better as an offense. And I don't want to say the sky's the limit and say they're going to put up yards and points like a Kansas City or New England, but I think that they can continue to grow to where the Bills offense becomes an issue to deal with, just like the Bills defense.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, Brian Daboll and Eric Wood. Hey, if you ever miss anything, like Eric Wood or anybody else who's on the station, you can always check it out. You can go to the Rewind, use the new Rewind function in the radio.com app. You want to go back to the show this morning and maybe you missed something. You heard a tease. You didn't know. You couldn't listen to it at whenever. We have a new Rewind function for you with the radio.com app. So download the radio.com app. If you haven't done so already, you should. Or go to radio.com/rewind for more information. You will have it a convenient rewind feature right at your fingertips. And go back anywhere in the last 24 hours and play it back, among other things, with the new Rewind app, part of our app, radio.com. 803-0550 to join us. We talk a little hockey this morning. Sabres off to the Ducks. Talk a little bit about Fitzpatrick on Sunday, whether people are actually worried about him starting against the Bills on Sunday. And we were discussing, we'll get some calls too, 803-0550, Mike Pereira's comments about replay. It's never going away. And the last thing you want, though, is what you're hearing this week about expanding it even more and bringing in a sky judge who can review Lord knows what on the football field. So you can chime in on that too. 803-0550 or 888-552-550. Let me get to you. I know you want to talk 300-yard passing.
Yeah,
we'll
talk 300-yard game.
Jim
soon.
In Florida, thanks for holding on. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a trivia question before I give you my comment.
Okay.
I'm calling from Englewood, Florida. There's a famous personality from that used to live there.
Sal.
You got it. I knew that was an easy one.
Yeah, it's the only famous personality I know from Florida.
So anyways, my two comments. First of all, I agree with the Belichick idea where you...
I think it was him, right, who said one call, open one open-ended challenge, I think?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but anyways, okay. You know, I'm good with, like, two challenges by the coach and no replays other than that. That's my suggestion, but it'll never happen. Because here's my other thought on that. Once I thought of that, I came up with, you know, the NFL is making a lot of money selling commercials during timeouts. And if you know the NFL, the bottom line is all about money. And I think they love the challenges and the timeouts. And that's what I got to say.
Yeah, but I don't think they, I mean, they can't, you can't sell. In fact, they changed their breaks.
Yeah, they did. They cut down
on the, away breaks.
On the number of breaks.
Yeah, because they were worried about too many stoppages in their game.
If you watch games now, when after there's a touchdown, they split the screen and play a Snickers commercial or something else,
right.
And they keep it here during the game because they are worried about losing you. So there is a dance there that they've got to kind of work their way through.
Yeah, I think they, you know, it used to be, wasn't it like touchdown, break, kickoff, break, offense? And they realized that they were, you know, it was not a good thing for their product or for their fans, and they decided to eliminate some of the breaks and maybe go longer in one of the existing breaks. You know, with replay, look, first off, it's here to stay. I think, you know, when Mike Pereira said the other day, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, I think he's right. It's here to stay. It's not going to be eliminated. So the question is, how far do you want to go with it? And you talked about eliminate all the reviews and go with just coaches' challenges. They're not going to eliminate reviewing scoring plays. They're not going to eliminate reviewing turnovers. And I don't think they're going to eliminate
reviewing whatever they need to review with booth reviews in the final 2 minutes. So you've got to make the best of the current system. And the answer, I don't think, is to add to it with PI challenges or, you know, the Sky Judge reviewing everything under the sun.
So let's talk about the 300-yard game for Josh Allen, which could come Sunday.
The
elusive.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the word. Elusive. Thank you. That is the word
now,
used there.
It's funny. Like a lot of issues, like a lot of debates, I do feel like there's a bell curve here, right? And if Allen gets a 300-yard game on Sunday, one of the reactions will be, there it is. You can all shut up about it. It didn't matter. I didn't care anyway. But you do care because you're saying that, you know? I feel like the right response will be like, all right, good, cool, good. That's something that should happen every once in a while. It should happen regularly if you are a good passing offense. The Bills, it's not even about Allen so much as it's about the Bills.
Yeah, it's about the general the passing offense in today's NFL.
Yeah, he's played 16 games. And their streak is up over 35, 37.
I think 37 or 38.
They showed it earlier in the season. So let's call it 37 games.
But the second longest streak was like half of what the Bills.
It was 14.
Yeah.
So, or maybe it was 11 at the time. It was Miami.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Bills' streak at the time they showed it on the broadcast we were watching, however many weeks ago, their streak was three times longer than any other team. And in addition to that, the last time they did it was in overtime.
Yeah, I used to think about it before Tyrod Taylor did it against Miami.
Yeah.
And then I stopped thinking about it for a while.
So I don't think it's about Josh Allen so much as it's about everybody does this all the time. Yeah. Kyler Murray does it.
Right. That's the thing that's troublesome.
Right. Gardner Minshew has done it.
300 yards.
I think Kyle Allen has done
it. I was just going to look his stats up to see. I know Murray's done it three times.
And I think it's worth pointing out, I do think Allen would have 300 yards this season if their defense wasn't this good.
Yeah.
Whether it's in a win because they win maybe one shootout, or if it's in a loss, Kyle Allen does not have a 300-yard game. Or if it's in a loss where he picks up garbage time. So it's not everything. It doesn't mean he's never played well. But go ahead and do it this week. Set it as a personal goal for him. Have the offensive coordinator set it as, let's put that drought to bed. Let's run it up against the Dolphins. You should be able to pass all over this team. They're terrible. They're terrible in the run game too. But you know, what I find is anybody that's trying to make a point about the 300-yard game is really working extra hard to try to defend Allen or the Bills for not having one. Well, I'd rather win. Well, no. Like why does the word win even come into the conversation? Of course, everybody would rather win.
Sure.
Would you rather win or blank? Win. The answer is win. You'd rather win. I don't care if they throw for 0 yards as long as they win. Okay, that's fine. Great. But, you know, the teams that have the most yards per game have a good record. Mm-hmm. The Bills are 10th in yards per game overall right now as an offense, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
But
to the end of the season.
But they're not scoring.
They're not scoring. And there are probably going to be games where they need 300 yards. And it's just a very I do agree on some level it's an arbitrary benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw for 295 and say, "Well, you didn't get it done."
Right.
It's fine. So I simultaneously think, "Yeah, it's a big deal. It's something that Allen should be shooting for and the Bills should be shooting for." And then when it happens, we can all kind of, it's just like the playoff drought. It's kind of the same thing, right? The drought ends. And in that moment, it's wow. And then afterward, okay, now we're just a regular team. We've done the thing that everybody else does, the 300-yard game. I'm not telling you it's the end-all be-all. I'd rather they win the game than Allen throws for 300 in most scenarios. But I don't have a problem with anybody wanting to see the 7th overall selection quarterback wing it around and throw for 380 in a game. I think it'd be great.
I think it's the next it has to be the next step in the evolution of this offense. And if you look at the numbers,
a big passing
yes,
day.
Yes.
I mean, geez, JP Lossman threw for what? 283-yard touchdowns, and in that game I don't think he got to 300 yards.
Really?
I think so.
The game in Houston?
Yeah. I don't think he got to 300 that day. I'll double check.
Okay.
But, you know, guys do it in their sleep.
Yeah. Well, last year, Ryan Fitzpatrick had four 400-yard games, so for what it's
right,
worth.
Right, so that's a great point. It doesn't mean you're good.
They won two and they lost two.
Sure,
it doesn't mean you're good.
It doesn't definitely equate to success.
No.
But
you'd like to have a more explosive passing offense.
Yeah, you want to know that it's in there.
Right. And if you look at the Bills' offense, that's why I say I think it's the next step in the evolution of this offense. If you look at the Bills' passing offense, I thought, you know, for sure, the Giants game, to me, I thought for sure he's going to top 300 yards. I think he was more than halfway there in the first half.
And he probably...
Did he have over 200 maybe in the first half?
Yes, and he would
and
have.
And then they went cold. But this year, 242, 237, 241, 240, 204. Those are the passing yard stats for Josh Allen this year. Lossman, I'll make the other point.
Lossman went for 340 in that game.
I thought. I mean, he would add, but that's, would add 160 from two
that's
plays.
That's part of the point. In that season, Lossman had two 300-yard passing
games.
Well,
that big play is missing. Sam Darnold throws for 338 against Dallas. 90 or whatever it was, came 80, 90, whatever the long pass to Robbie Anderson accounted for a huge chunk of him getting to 338. That's the next stage in this passing offense. Look, what they've done is Josh is better than he was last year. And they've gone from sub 200-yard passing games, which sadly was the norm around here for way too long, to now they're getting around 240. Okay, but you don't have the big play. You haven't hit that bomb. Or you'd like to be able to just come out like the Giants game. Do that for a full game, or for at least three quarters. Carve up what you saw was a weak pass defense. The next three teams they're playing, they're not good on pass defense.
Go ahead and
none
of
them.
Give me three 300-yard games.
The Dolphins, Washington, and Philly are all in the top five in terms of pass defenses given up, pass touchdowns given up. They're in the bottom 10 in pass yards given up. So have an offense where, sure, you want balance and let's build with the pass and put away with the run, whatever the phrase is you want to use. But the next step in this team, here's Sean McDermott yesterday talking about the growth of the offense. And what did he say? We got to score more. Got to put more points up on the board. Yeah, you know what? One way to do that is to have an explosive passing game and hit the big plays when they're there. Or if you're playing a team that's got a questionable secondary, pick them apart and have the quarterback be able to do 300-plus yards. You don't necessarily have to run for 150 that day.
Not having a 300-yard game is kind of like not ever having a shutout in hockey. You know, it's been 6 years since this team's had a shutout. Like, what? Everybody gets shutouts. How in the world could you not have had a shutout?
It's hard to figure. Yeah, I honestly don't think about it a lot. I really don't.
I'm not telling you that
points out a stat to me.
Right. I'm not telling you I think about it all the time either, but it'd be nice if, you know, the offense is the kind of offense that can put up 300 yards passing four times a year. That's not even a lot.
Sure.
Couple texts on this. Paul writes in that Allen's one completed bomb away from at least one 300-yard game. Yeah, sure, he's a couple.
Right.
But he still doesn't have it. And if he's – put it this way. He's not going to the Hall of Fame if he never gets one, right? They're going to happen. They've got to happen, even if it's in garbage time. So some will be in garbage time. Some will be in shootout wins. But I don't think it's a problem to be kind of looking for it.
Yeah. That's what I say. I think that is the next step. That has to be what's missing from this offense. That's it. It's not an explosive passing game. It's better. You know, he's more efficient. He's got he's still turning the ball over, but he's got a higher completion percentage than he did last year. He's better at throwing the short to intermediate range passes in this passing offense. He's checking down. He's, you know, doing a better job of what they've told him to do. Take what the defense is giving you. But in terms of explosiveness, it's not there yet. And that's something that still has to come in the offense. And I think he's got, with John Brown here, with Cole Beasley, with improved weapons, we'll see Dawson Knox. You know, maybe Dawson Knox will continue to develop. You put Duke Williams in the lineup. Now, Duke Williams isn't necessarily a 70 yards downfield big play guy. But as he has more weapons in this offense, hopefully it evolves from 230, 240, to the occasional 300-yard. No, it doesn't necessarily translate to wins. You can win games by throwing for 240, 250, 260. But again, you'd like to have the offense that scares people. An offense that scares people is an offense where the quarterback can put up 300-plus yards. If you need a day where you have to rely on the passing game, hey, you know, the Saints won their first, what are they with Bridgewater? 3-0, 4-0? I think it's 4-0. And they won their first couple games with Bridgewater, and he really wasn't doing much in terms of the passing offense.
And then he threw for
400. And then he threw for 300-something yards and four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns.
You just would like to have days. Like I said, the way the Giants game was playing out, that was going to be that day.
Right. Maybe you need a worse defense in order for it to happen that way.
And that's why that was a bad defense that you should have been able to have that big day against.
Right. Our standards for passing the football are still kind of they're in recovery.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
220 yards, a touchdown. I thought he had a nice day, and that's true because they win these games, but you know we're still on our way, we're still climbing that mountain.
But he did, you know, there are games you look at, right? He hasn't thrown for 300, and we can still say, I'm just trying to look at what he got against Tennessee. I don't recall. Let me try and look it up. Because he talked about Allen, talked about Tennessee as being maybe his best game. Now, granted, that was against a good defense. The Titans are good defensively. They're just a train wreck offensively. Against Tennessee, 23 of 32 for 204. Two touchdowns and one interception. And it was, you know, one of his better games because he didn't kill him with turnovers. But still, it is a day where you struggle to put points up on the board. And you got 204 yards passing. So, I want more. We all want more from the passing game. And they should in this stretch. If they don't get a 300-yard game in one of these next three games, I don't know when they're going to get one this season because these three games, these three opponents are prime to have a big passing day against. I got a tweet in our discussion about bringing up Miami and how you could probably do this against Miami. And the tweet said, why not play a conservative against the Dolphins? Get the win, save the big stuff for teams that'll put up a fight. No need to put stuff on tape for Belichick. Nobody's talking about like emptying out the box of trick plays here. But we're talking about throwing the ball downfield, being aggressive and making some explosive pass plays and being just more deadly as a passing offense. That's different than, you know, play a conservative. Why play a conservative, by the way? Go out to win the game. And again, it doesn't mean you're using five trick plays that you want to save for a bigger moment in a bigger game. But no, don't come out with a conservative game plan just because Miami's winless. Come out and attack them. Be aggressive. Throw the ball. You want to come out on the first drive and put it up eight times? Great. You know, if the script calls for a whole bunch of pass plays at the beginning of the game, so be it. You should still go to attack a bad defense and try and win the football game. I would not go conservative. You just don't have to have every trick play in the book pulled out on Sunday.
You're playing an XFL team.
And
fits.
Yeah. It's, there's just, you know, whatever. It's a weird week because, you know, I'm usually, you get nervous. It's 16 games. They're all important. I'm not nervous at all about this game. I mean, I expect them to win. I don't expect it to be close. I think it should be over by halftime. I'm not nervous at all about this game. And I know there are people doing that's the game that makes you crazy and you're nervous because you're supposed to win. Yeah, I'm not. I'm just not worried about this game. I think the Dolphins have put together a team that was designed to lose. Not only are they losing, they're losing rather badly. Although, they are, their losses are getting closer as each week has gone on.
That's right.
The
from
biggest,
they, 49 they, to 43 to 25 to 20 to 1.
It's actually dropped every week, the point differential, if you care about that stuff.
Are the Chargers good, though? And the Chargers beat them by 20.
Yeah.
30 to 10.
They're not playing well, no. The Chargers team I saw, at least the first half anyway, against Pittsburgh, was not good. Baltimore beat them in the blowout opening day. They're good. Who else did they lose to? I think is New England in there. You know, New England's not at New England standard. Yeah, New England beat them by 43. They're not at New England standard, but they're still good. Dallas beat them by 25. I don't know what to tell you about the Cowboys. They were off to a great start. Now they've lost three straight, and people are talking about Jason Garrett should be fired in Dallas, and the Chargers are struggling. The Chargers, for whatever reason, are having issues as a team. So the Washington game throughout. Washington's not good. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. The Bills should beat him, and it shouldn't be close. And just don't worry about the game. Worry about other things. Worry about getting through the game healthy. You know, worry about, you know, guys not getting injured. Worry about Devin Singletary. Let's hope he comes back and plays, gets some carries, and his hamstring holds up. Those are things I would worry about more than the result. I'm not expecting Fitz to come out and have whatever year it was. Was it a Thursday night game here where he came out and just threw the ball all over the place and trash the Bills' defense? I don't think that's happening on Sunday. Unless Quincy Anunwa shows up and is healthy and is playing for the Dolphins. Then I'd worry. He's not.
You'd be worried about Quincy Anunwa?
No, I was just kidding.
Okay.
Remember, because he had that big game against the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
When Fitz had the big game in the win.
Here we go. Ian Rappaport. The Dolphins have had trade conversations with teams about Kenyon Drake. They would trade him if the right offer presented itself. Drake, who has had no extension talks with Miami since camp, would welcome a new opportunity. That's the number one reason. I don't know if they're going to trade Rosen. That's the number one reason they should play Fitz. They don't want to win. They're not going to win.
Yeah.
And Rosen has some value.
I wonder what they get for him.
A fifth.
I was going to say it's no higher than a fourth. Yeah. Maybe it's even a conditional because I'm not sure what his value would be. It would have to be a team that liked him coming out of UCLA. They didn't need a quarterback, so they didn't draft one at the time. Now, a couple years later, again, you maybe a team like Tennessee whose quarterback picture is up in the air. Who knows? Maybe Zach Taylor liked him at UCLA, and they're not sure if they're sticking with Dalton. It would have to be a team that is looking for a quarterback for whatever reason and would be willing to give up, you know, a late-round pick for Josh Rosen. But sure, I was expecting more trades from the Dolphins. They're all about getting more draft picks. They already, you know, they already moved up like guys like Tunsil and Fitzpatrick. So, yeah, somebody makes offers for anybody else in the roster, get more picks.
So the Dolphins have the Bills. Then they're at the Steelers. Mason Rudolph, by the way, is their guy when he comes back.
Yeah,
that's what Mike Tomlin said.
Yeah, right.
At Steelers. What do you think?
What are we doing here? Dolphins?
Pick the Dolphins.
Oh, whether they're going. I had this embedded or forget it, but that's okay. We can do it now.
At the Steelers.
Yeah, I have their schedule.
Colts, Jets, and the other. Sorry, Jets first.
Where would they win?
Jets at Colts, home Bills, at Browns, home Eagles, at Jets.
At the Giants.
At the Giants is their shot.
Or home Bengals. One of those two games.
Week 15 or 16.
How cool would it be if Cincinnati and Miami are both winless in week 16? Right? The Bengals are still looking for their first win, right? So both teams winless in week 16, and the Dolphins lose or win at home against Cincinnati, costing them the number one overall pick in the draft. That'd be pretty funny. Yeah, I don't see them winning a road game. Even, you know, not at Pittsburgh, not here. The other road games are Colts, Browns, Jets. Actually, no, I said at Giants. That would be the only road game I really give them a chance to win. The only other possibility before that would be maybe if the Eagles season has gone south and they go down to Miami on December 1st. Is it possible that, you know, the Eagles have rolled up at that point and maybe Miami beats them? I don't think it's going to happen, though. I would think Giants, Bengals are your two best bets in week 15 and 16 for Miami to avoid going 0-16. They are so bad. I mean, again, offense, defense, I couldn't tell you how their special teams are, but across the board, offense, defense, they're so bad. They absolutely are built to go 0-16. 803-0550 to join us. Let's get you a win cash code word. See if we can give $1,000 to a lucky WGR listener this morning. The code word is flower. So here's what you need to do. Text flower, F-L-O-W-E-R, to 72881. You have until 10 o'clock to text the word in. When you do, reminder, message and data rates may apply. But when you text the word in, you'll be in the running for the $1,000. If you win, that's it. You get $1,000 cash. It's that simple. Text FLOWER, F-L-O-W-E-R, to 72881. Fantasy football time, Thursday, 9:30-ish. That's when we talk with Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports. He's going to join us in a moment. And one of the things we'll talk about, interesting tweet from Scott earlier this week about the name brand offenses and how badly they're struggling. We'll get to that in a moment on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Josh Allen alone in the backfield takes the snap. Looks down the middle. Looks left. Looks for John Brown. Gets separation. Makes the catch at the 10. Into the end zone. Touchdown. There's a flag on the play. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Hey, the touchdown stood. Yeah, it's from the opener against the Jets. I got a Josh Allen fantasy question that we're going to deal with when we get to Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. We've been discussing a number of things today, including the Sabres, their first regulation loss of the season to the Ducks last night. We were talking about Fitz. He's starting Sunday. If you're actually worried about the Bills facing Ryan Fitzpatrick on Sunday. And also a little bit about officiating. We're playing back some of the comments from Mike Pereira. The sky judge. I think you're going to hear more people talking about the idea of a sky judge next season.
This person has to wear a cape.
Sadly.
That's all I'm saying. If they're going to have it, he's got to wear a cape.
A cape?
Something.
Sky judge.
We at least have to
mean
have
a black robe, like a judge robe?
No, a cape, not a robe.
Like a hero, like a cape crusader,
a cape
type thing.
Sky.
Superman, sky judge.
Something.
Or the SJ initials on it for Sky Judge, I assume, on the shield. Instead of the NFL on the shield, you could put SJ on the shield. Anyway, you can always join us. You got a question, you got a comment, you got an opinion, 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. I said I had a fantasy question about Josh Allen. Well, let's go to the Western Hotline. We'll bring in Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports, who is kind enough to join us every Thursday in this time slot to talk fantasy football. What's going on there, Mr. Pianowski? How you doing?
I am doing great. And I'll tell you, people who own Buffalo Bills are going to be doing pretty great with the schedule they got lined up.
Yeah.
I mean, they got all those tomato cans that the Patriots have been getting fat off. Buffalo gets them in this next wave of scheduling.
Especially this week, because always be playing against the Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, at least they're going to get the best version of the Dolphins because, you know, Josh Rosen just doesn't look ready to be a professional quarterback. The problem with Fitzpatrick is you guys know, because he'll make a couple of throws, but he's going to throw it to the other guys a couple of times too. So fire up the Buffalo defense, of course, which has been outstanding. I think Allen's in play. And, you know, it used to be 10, 15 years ago when a team used multiple running backs, we'd run from that in fantasy. Now it's not that big of a deal as long as they limit it to two. And, yeah, I think Gore and Singletary both have value this week, too. I mean, more is running back twos or flex plays because I don't think either guy can get 25 carries in this game. But they're probably both going to get double digits. So it's a good time. You know, I've said all along, I think Buffalo's a playoff team, but they're going to be a fantasy fun team for probably the next, you know, 4 to 5 weeks because the schedule really is favorable.
I was wondering how much of a play in all of your quarterback plays this week, where would you rate Josh Allen against that defense this week?
Yeah, you always wonder about the passing volume. Mm-hmm. They're not going to need him to throw 40 passes, but I guess, you know, I talked about Buffalo only have two running backs, but really the third running back always is Allen, right? Because, I mean, he's got a decent chance of scoring any rushing touchdown they get, and he'll probably run for anywhere from 20 to 40 yards. So, you know, Allen's a good play. The only problem is that he's never going to have in this game, you know, you look at the game like maybe Russell Wilson has sometimes where Seattle falls behind and he has to come back and, you know, throw a bunch of passes and get a bunch of volume. They fell behind in that Saints game and he put up a bunch of stats. It's going to be hard for Allen to have that game. So maybe the upside isn't there. But I mean, he's a reasonable floor play. You could play Allen this week. There are better quarterback options because other guys are going to get pushed back. I mean, the funny thing for fantasy is that with your quarterback, you ideally want the opponent to push back a little bit so that you're relevant to the game for four quarters. And I just can't feel confident that Allen will have to face that this week.
Yeah, we've made that point actually about not just from a fantasy standpoint, but this Bills defense is so good that, you know, Allen has not needed to put up 300 yards. Maybe that would have happened against mm-hmm. the Giants somewhere along the way. This is where, what, Arizona, Atlanta is your dream because you've got two bad defenses and back and forth and both offenses are going to push.
Right. You know, Matt Ryan, nowhere near the MVP conversation. I mean, the team has one win, but I mean, he's a perfect fantasy quarterback because he's always chasing the game. And look what's happening. I mean, you know, Julio Jones, you know, having about what the season we expected. Austin Hooper right now is the number one tight end. It's not Kelsey. It's not Kittle. It's not Ertz. It's Hooper because, you know, in part, he's having a good season anyway. His efficiency numbers are good. But the Falcons are always chasing the game. They're always down 20 points in the second half. They have to press the pace. They have to play a little bit faster tempo. And you know, Ryan, he's thrown a few interceptions, but you know, he leads the league, I believe, in completions and attempts. He's on pace to throw over 700 passes, which is just a crazy number. So, you know, that's a fantasy quarterback or fantasy offense's best friend, a defense that can't stop anything.
You know, I mentioned on the topic of offense here, you tweeted something earlier, and maybe it might have been yesterday, but I know I saw your tweet about NFL name brand offenses. We were talking a couple weeks ago how it's funny, I think New England is number one in scoring offense in terms of points, but we saw them play against, maybe it was just the Bills defense, but they looked really disjointed on offense. And you had a tweet about name brand offenses in the NFL and that they're having some issues and some of the top wide receivers are having disappointing fantasy numbers from that.
Sure. I mean, the funny thing with the Patriots scoring offense, well, they have five return touchdowns or defensive touchdowns. You guys know from the Buffalo game, I mean, if the Patriots don't score on special teams, Buffalo likely wins that game. Certainly Brady's worst game of the year. His quarterback rating was about somewhere in the low 40s. But, you know, it's funny. I was watching the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, against the Colts, they scored their first two drives. And I was saying to my little brother who's watching the game with, you know, this is the reward for all the bad offenses you have to watch. You get to watch the Chiefs. And since then, their offensive line has fallen into disrepair, and Mahomes' ankle's been rolled up on again, and you know they're having trouble. They can't get the easy chunk plays. The Rams, the question is, have the Rams been solved? I mean, last year they lost Cooper Kupp, and then you know, Gurley wasn't effective. They didn't want to play him. Kupp's back. Gurley's not the same guy. Jared Goff looks like maybe a big mistake, all the money they threw at him. And what did Goff have, like 27 yards late in the third quarter against San Francisco? So mm-hmm. Part of that speaks to San Francisco's defense being really good. But I always ask myself, you know, what teams can I not wait to watch? And it's just, you know, with all the quarterback attrition, no Roethlisberger, no Antonio Brown, the Steelers aren't the same watch. Drew Brees out of the picture in New Orleans for now. They're obviously going in game manager mode with Teddy Bridgewater, so that offense isn't really that fun. The Patriots are undefeated, but not because of the offense. And they're really striated in their usage, so it's hard to get a lot of fantasy value there. You know, Sony Michel, no juice in the passing game. They'll farm out touchdowns to Brandon Bolden sometimes. Brady's running a couple of touchdowns. I mean, I like to have four or five teams that I can just put on and watch and enjoy for offense. I mean, Russell Wilson, I think, is having a fantastic year and probably the MVP right now. And if Houston can continue to keep Watson protected, I know a lot of the sacks sometimes are on the quarterback. Watson was holding the ball too long, maybe not getting out of bad plays or adjusting protections before the snap. So he's going to take culpability for that. But they protected him well the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Maybe there could be an offense that gets going. And I know Hopkins has been a mild disappointment. I would still go in and get him if I could. Fuller's a hit or miss guy. Dropped three touchdown passes last week. How many times do you see that? But you know, maybe Houston could be one of those offenses that is just easy to watch. Right now, I think Seattle is. Chris Carson, man, just breaking tackles left and right. What a season he's had. But it's a little concerning that the Saints aren't what they used to be. The Steelers aren't what they used to be. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, the Chiefs were really struggling, not just losing, but having trouble sustaining drives. We don't think of an Andy Reid offense that way. They haven't found balance in the running game, which is certainly a problem. But and all sorts of receivers who have disappointed us. Beckham has disappointed us. Adams has been hurt. Juju, a lost season right now. Hopkins hasn't done what we expected. Even Julio, when you consider what Matt Ryan is up to, you would think Julio would be smashing the record book, and it's actually been going to other guys in Atlanta.
And what are the numbers in Minnesota? I haven't even looked at them. I know, you know, the passing offense hasn't been good, although Diggs had a big game last week. From a fantasy standpoint, what are Diggs and Thielen's numbers looking like?
Mild disappointment. The only good thing about Diggs and Thielen, other than the fact that they're talented players, is that as infrequently as Minnesota throws the ball, they want to play 1977 football, defense, running game. At least when they do throw it, it's to those two guys. You know, they're getting nothing out of their tight ends. Kyle Rudolph is just about the end of his career. They occasionally throw to their running backs, but they don't have a McCaffrey on their team. Somebody's going to catch 90 balls. So when Cousins drops back, and they don't have a third receiver, you know, they don't have somebody who's going to catch 55 or 60 passes who's taking away from Thielen and Diggs. And, you know, Diggs was hurt that first week. He played through the injury tag, but he's always been kind of like the sports car that, you know, when he isn't 100% right, it's hard to trust Diggs. And Thielen's more like the Camry. He's more the reliable guy, but not as flashy as Diggs. I'd say they go down as mild disappointments because of the volume of the passing game, but you still have to keep playing them. It's just, you know, the where we're at right now. You know, I talked about all this offense is disappointing us. Look at Philadelphia. As soon as they lost DeSean Jackson, as soon as they lost their field stretcher, you know, that totally changes the complexion of their offense. And we might see that with Dallas this week. I think their most important skill guy isn't Ezekiel Elliott. I think it's Amari Cooper. Cooper may not be able to go in that critical game against Philadelphia. And the loser of that game is 3-4. Who would have thought Dallas, after a 3-0 start, might be looking at 3-4 after this week?
Hey, Scott, from the disappointment area, I want to ask you about the Chargers, because I don't know. I didn't think they'd be 2-4, and they looked really bad against the Steelers, and their offense is having some issues. I wanted to – you can either talk about big picture, but specifically I was looking about Melvin Gordon. And if you're a fantasy owner, what do you do about him? Maybe this is rust factor. You know, he hasn't had a ton of carries his first two games back, but he's averaged 2.2 and 2.5 yards per attempt in his first two games back. What do you do with him in what is an offense that's having trouble finding itself right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're the perennial disappointments of the NFL, and it's kind of the way the Chargers seasons generally go, where they get off to a slow start, and then they end up crushing everybody in December, and we say, oh, wow, imagine if the Chargers made the playoffs, but they didn't. It sure looks like Gordon is having his preseason right now. He's just rusty, indecisive. I mean, he can't be in game shape. It's just not the same thing when you're on your own and you're not taking hits and you're not practicing. I mean, that stuff has a value. And unfortunately for the Chargers, they've given him usage that's been commensurate with somebody who maybe would be healthy and ready to go, and taking it out of Eckler's hands. you know, just the Chargers, I wish we could start over. Get them back to San Diego somehow. I mean, nobody in L.A. cares about them. It's embarrassing and actually quite sad. I take no joy in this. Pittsburgh goes in there. It's a home game for the Steelers. The Chargers have the ball, and the crowd is chanting defense. It's granted, that sometimes would happen in San Diego, too. I remember a Monday night game or a Sunday night game with the Chargers and Steelers much the same way. And Pittsburgh, give them credit. They have fans everywhere, and they tend to show out. But it seems like something's always wrong there. At least we saw Hunter Henry come back. And, man, I talk about a guy who didn't need any amp-up time, and he was terrific in that first game back, is they were basically using him as a hybrid receiver. This is something we love as our tight ends. They do this sometimes with Hooper. They do it a lot of times with Evan Ingram. And they were doing it with Henry last week, saying, look, you're a receiver. We're not going to don't chip the guy. Don't block. Don't get in the three-point stance. We're going to use you as a hybrid receiver. And there's nobody who can match up with you. I mean, he's just so much taller than the people asked to cover him. Maybe he can be the guy who gets this offense going. I think you have to hold with Gordon because once he gets into game shape, I would think he'd go back to being the player he is. And they may have a narrow enough tree. They've had enough attrition with the injuries on the receiver position that I think there's enough to go around for everybody here. The key to them, I think, is keeping Henry healthy. He's the difference maker. We've seen Keenan Allen, three monster games and then three totally off-the-map games. Phillip Rivers near the end of his career. I think Henry is the key guy in this offense. And I think we're going to see the same old Chargers. I think that they're going to, you know, basically wreck their season. They're going to, you know, make a mess of it, and then they're going to go 4-0 in December.
They'll make a run. Yeah, they start the season, typically start slowly and make a run. Yeah, that's the Chargers. All right, you can read Scott's work, by the way, at Yahoo's website, sports.yahoo.com. You should also follow him on Twitter, @Scott_Pianowski, and he is always nice enough to take time out of his schedule on Thursday mornings to come on with us. As always, Scott, thank you, and good luck to your fantasy teams this weekend.
Thanks for having me, and good luck trying to get by Miami. I know it's hard when you're a 17-point favorite, but I think the Bills can eke this one out. I've said all year, heading to the playoffs.
Feeling pretty confident about this one. Yeah, all right. Well, hopefully we'll talk to you after a win.
And by the way, don't save them in Survivor. If you have them still, don't be cute. Just do the right thing.
Go the obvious.
Take the free pick.
Okay. That's a smart play. All right. Thanks, Scott. Have a nice weekend.
All right. Talk to you next week.
You bet. Thank you. Scott Pianowski, Western Hotline, taking us to break. Extendo Sports when we get back. Instigators with the boys coming up at the top of the hour on WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Extendo Sports wrapping up here. 2 days, not 2 days, 2 years ago today, Gord Downie died. Well, tragically, hip to close the show.
Very good. My wife would be impressed with this tribute. Very nice.
Yeah. October 17, 2017. I can actually remember that day really well. I hung out with Nick Mendola that day.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, after the show.
Sharing memories of the band? Listening to music?
Not specifically me, no. I mean, I didn't, you know, I'm not the biggest hip fan. Yeah. I hung out with Nick, and I think we went to lunch with Bulldog.
Mm-hmm. He's a big hip fan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we went and stood by the mural on Hurdle Avenue. So, yeah,
nice
2 years ago today. Like that, to me, that does not feel like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it seems shorter than that, right? All right, we're done.
We're done.
Everybody have a nice day. Tomorrow's Friday, Football Friday. Amp up. I don't know, I'm just trying my best Doug Marrone, who likes everybody in the media. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. We'll talk about the Sabres game tonight and the Bills-Miami game. Have a great day. Stay dry.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.